Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. I've got a great clip from Dr. Reiner Fulmich, who has been a trial lawyer for about 26 years, and he's saying that the pandemic really is a crime. And I think this is great. Let's listen.
I'm a lawyer, and I've been a trial lawyer for 26 years now. We, my firm and I, with some of the people working for me for 20 years now, we have been representing consumers and small and medium-sized businesses against fraudulent corporations. Yeah. Because of this experience, in particular with Deutsche Bank, which is one of the most criminal organizations in this world, I wasn't completely surprised at what was unfolding before our eyes in the context of Corona, except this time it's not just one fraudulent corporation, but it's dozens and dozens of fraudulent corporations, plus the politicians whom they managed to get under their control. There cannot be any doubt whatsoever, at least not for me, after having interviewed so many experts from all different fields of science, doctors, virologists, epidemiologists, economists, lawyers, psychologists, psychiatrists. There cannot be any doubt whatsoever that what has been happening here for a year now, these are the worst crimes against humanity ever, ever committed. This is worse than what happened in World War II and, of course, in World War I. What's even worse is that so many people are participating in this. The same type of people who participated some 80 years ago in what was then going to be World War II. I'm not just saying this, I'm quoting this from Vera Sharaf, who is a Holocaust survivor. She was a child then, she was in Auschwitz. And she said, "This is so incredible. I would never have believed that I'm once again going to have to fight the very same people whom I fought 80 years ago." I know there's some people out there who may not quite work with actual evidence. Well, it's different with us because we have been speaking to all these scientists and other people, over 100 in the meantime, and this is all replicable. And what's going to happen is it will be replicated because those very same people who testified before our Corona Investigative Committee can just as well testify before the courts of law, and they will. We all know now, I mean, we should know, those 10 or 20% of us who still have a brain to use and to think with, this has never been about the virus. This has never been about health. This has always been about taking everything away from us so that we would be dependent on them, plus population reduction, plus gaining complete control over those who are left. That is, I wouldn't have said this a year ago. A year ago, if you had asked me, or if somebody had told me this, I would have said, "Hey, you definitely need to see a doctor." But no, this is what all the evidence, all of the people who we interviewed on the Corona Committee, what this points to. This conclusion is inevitable. What we're dealing with is probably 0.00000 something, 1% of the population trying to gain control over the rest of the world. This is not about money, because this group of people, maybe 3,000, this group of people, they're the super rich. They have, in terms of financial assistance, they have much more than they need. They're not going to need to buy a 10th or a 3rd yacht or the 20th Maserati or whatever. So this is not really about money. It is about money because they're using money in order to bribe people in the hospitals, the doctors, politicians. They're also using all kinds of psychological techniques in order to manipulate people, or they threaten people, many politicians. Some of them may be threatened. Some of them may be getting bribed. But it's not really about money. They're using money as a tool. So what we think is what they're really up to is, you have to keep in mind that the very same people, a part of which we now call the Davos clique. You know, the self-appointed political elite and the self-appointed corporate elite. That is part of the people who we're dealing with. And this globalism is what got us here. We ended up with global, what do you call them? What do you call the WHO, the World Economic Forum? These are private global organizations which have taken control over the entire world. Private organizations run by the super rich. I think this is, once people understand this, it's not going to be too hard to turn the tables. And those are the ones who are responsible for the financial crisis some 10 or 12 years ago. Had we been a little more careful, had we looked a little closer, we would have known that for 30 years, this group of people has been stealing the taxpayers' money all over the world. We should have been a lot more careful. The first financial crisis would have been the perfect chance for us to catch on to what's going on. They managed to tell us that they have everything under control. They didn't, but they started to print money in order to keep us quiet. We should have been, we should have known that you cannot print money in order to restore what they have stolen. It doesn't make any sense. Well, this time around, in late 2019, I believe, when things were again coming to a head and things were again about to implode, they came up with Corona as a diversionary tactic. And we have to keep in mind, however, we're not dealing with a monolithic wall on the other side. There's lots of infighting. There's contradicting interests, and that's another one of our chances that we have. We're about to reach the tipping point, I think, because there's so many mistakes that they're making. Because I don't think that the all these adverse reactions to the vaccines are part of the plan, and that's because they're trying to rush this thing through. And I think what happened is we have a whistleblower, and she told us that the original plan was to roll this out in 2050, but then those who are involved in this got greedy and pulled things forward to 2030 and then to 2020. And that's why we think that's why so many mistakes are happening. Because as I said, they did not really, I don't think, and we don't think, they did not really intend these adverse reactions to happen and to warn even those people who are still sort of in line with the government. And as we all know now, this is not a vaccination. It's called a vaccine, but it isn't. The only reason why the European Union calls it a vaccine is because it's something that's being injected. It's another one of those sleight of hand tricks, just like they changed the WHO, changed the definition of a pandemic exactly for this purpose, in order to create a pandemic during the swine flu. And here they changed the definition of what a vaccine is by saying, of course, it's a genetic experiment, but since we're injecting it into people, it's not a genetic experiment anymore. It's a vaccine. It's extremely dangerous. I just got a press release from Professor Bhakti, who's one of the main players in this. He's a specialist. He and a bunch of other doctors just published a press release today, and it deals with the side effects of these so-called vaccinations. Clotting and bleeding after vaccination is the rule. And there are many people, not just a few, many people who die. They suffer strokes and aneurysms, etc., etc. So but he's detailing this, even though this is just, I'm going to mail it to you. This is just a short press release, but it tells you that there's a huge fight going on, in particular here in Europe, also in the United States, about whether or not they can make this mandatory. At this point, they can't. When we talk about a class action lawsuit, it's not just one. Thus far, one has been filed in Canada. Another one is on its way to be filed. And we're planning to file a couple of more. We means the colleagues, my Anglo-American colleagues, because I'm just one of the people who is trying to put together the evidence by filing many other lawsuits, many other individual lawsuits, for example, in Germany, in order to get the courts to say Drosten is lying to you. He kept telling the world that his PCR test is great because it does an incredible trick. It makes things visible that are not visible to the human eye by amplifying it. What we call the retraction paper. Its authors include 22 internationally highly renowned scientists. And as it turns out, what they're writing about the Drosten-Korman or Korman-Drosten paper, the PCR test protocol, is so devastating. What they're saying is two things. It is completely unscientific. And the second thing is, it looks as though it was done in such a sloppy way on purpose, for the sole purpose of producing as many false positives as possible.
There you go, producing as many false positives as possible. And of course, that's what many people have been saying all along, that a lot of people are probably, the number of people with COVID, if COVID is even a real virus, is probably minuscule compared to the number of false positives. The PCR test was never meant to be used. Carrie Mullis, the inventor who did win the Nobel Prize, said it should never be used for a diagnostic tool, but they did it anyway, and they made it a test to determine if you have the coronavirus or COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2, whatever you want to call it. So anyway, great clip. I want to get back to that clip, and I have something from Contact 238 and then a little bit from the Might of Thoughts that I want to bring out here. Contact Report 238, death from laying children on their stomach. Down in line 266, it says, however, infants are placed on their stomachs. This is very extremely dangerous because the heart, lungs, and other organisms are affected in their function by carbon dioxide, which is inhaled when they lie on their stomachs. Now, this can be applied to the masks as well. Kids are very susceptible when they put these masks on to breathing the carbon dioxide that they're exhaling. And this is why, generally speaking, the masks are very unhealthy. Plus, you're holding all that bacteria in that one spot. But kids are very vulnerable. Just like when they fall asleep on their stomach, here in Contact Report 238, can lead to death. But this is extremely life-threatening, especially for small children, and often ends with sudden death, which in ignorance of the cause is then simply called sudden infant death by the terrestrial human beings. Contact Report 238, death from jogging on a full stomach. I have been guilty of this many times, especially when I was younger, and I'm damn lucky to not be dead. However, a full stomach can lead to death when jogging, which is a malignant evil of unhealthiness for humans anyway, as is the case with bathing or strenuous sports of any kind. So I guess the Meyer material, the PlayRN information, says strenuous sports is not good. Bathing is not good. I'll leave that sit there. I'll let other people debate and the pros and cons of that. Contact Report 238, death from vaccines. I totally, totally agree with this. In fact, these things cannot be done for fun, as this must not be the case after vaccinations of any kind, whereby precisely the aspect is still very ignorant of earthly medicine and makes many mistakes, because many vaccines are not only pathogenic in another form, but often also have deadly effects. Although we have been working in this respect for quite some time with appropriate impulses to draw the attention of the earthly medical scientists and so forth to them, still many vaccines of the terrestrial humans are very inadequate and are able to bring apart the heaviest shocks and cramps and also all kinds of allergies and even death. Why vaccination should be made in each case really only according to an urgent need. Only those vaccinations may be carried out without hesitation, which demonstrably do not cause any harm or cause moderate and negligible harm. However, it is often the case, e.g., example with rubella, whooping cough, and diphtheria, that vaccinations cause serious illnesses and often fatal consequences as well as permanent change that cannot be repaired. This is even the case with very important tetanus vaccination, which is why it should be handled with extreme caution. I've been reading The Mind of Thoughts. Finally, I kind of took a break from things. I didn't really mean to, and I don't know if that's such a good idea or not. But they've been talking about setting a zeal, which is like, Billy doesn't like this translation, but almost like a goal. He says life determination, and that one of our major life determinations should be evolving spiritually to be, as, of course, neutral positive as much as possible. And we should equip our thoughts with a sense of striving or our evolutive responsibility. The creational natural laws pop in mind real quick, and I'll go over these quickly, and then we'll call it a day. Love, brotherly love. Two, striving, working in every area of your life. Three, which would be harmony, the law of harmony, neutral, positive, equalized, balanced thinking, which means you're just a little to the positive. You're not way positive, of course, not negative. And then finally, system in order. That's kind of the term I use, which involves having a regular schedule that you follow. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this. I'm going to try to continue and get back in the habit of doing these short shows. If we can continue to do that, I think it would be awesome, good for me too. Anyway, have a great day. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder.